जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालव गिरिवद धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालव गिरिवद धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजना यशोर्नंदन व्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरवन चारी जमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालव गिरिवद धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालव गिरिवद धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालव गिरिवद धारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजा आचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत्य शिशी महाराज जबान जैसे श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग नमो ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी विचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवारी पश्चाचिदेशधारणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna, good morning to everyone. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 15, The Killing of Dainuka, the Ass Demon. Today's text number 2. So the word meanings. Tat thus, Madhava, Lord Srimadhava, Venum, his flute, Udira Yan, sounding, Vrita, surrounded Gopai by the cowherd boys, Gunadbi, who were chanting Swayasa, his glories, Bala Anvita, accompanied by Lord Balaram, Pasum, the animals, Purashkritya, keeping in front, Pasavyam, full of nourishment for the cows, Avist, avisat, he entered the heart to kama, designed to enjoy pastimes. Kusuma akaryam, rich with flowers, vanam, the forest. Tanmaravo venam udaryan. No. What is the tune for this? Tanmaravo venam udaryan rito. Gopair gnad vi swayaso balavita. Pasun paraskritya pasavya avishad. Haratu kama kusumakaram vanam. Tanmaravo venam udirayan vrito. Gopair gnad vi swajaso balanvita. Pasum puruskritya pasavyam avishad. Vihartu kama kusuma karambana. Tanmaravo venam udirayan vrito. Gopair gnad vi swayaso balanvita. Pasum paraskritya pasavyam avishad. Vihartu kama kusuma karam vanam. Ladies. Translation and purport. Thus desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. Purport: Srila Sanatan Goswami has explained the various meanings of the word Madhava as follows. Madhava normally indicates Krishna to be the Lord who is the consort of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. This name also implies that Lord Krishna descended in the dynasty of Madhu. Since the spring season is also known as Madhava, it is understood that as soon as Lord Krishna entered the Vrindavan forest, it automatically exhibited all the opulences of spring, becoming filled with flowers, bees, and a celestial atmosphere. Another reason Lord Krishna is known as Madhava is that he enjoys his pastimes in Madhu, the taste of conjugal love. Lord Krishna would loudly sound his flute as he entered the forest of Sri Vrindavan, thus giving inconceivable bliss to all the residents of his hometown, Rajadham. These simple pastimes of playfully entering the forest, playing on the flute, and so forth, were performed daily in the spiritual land of Vrindavan. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, Lord Krishna, the springtime and the forest of Vrindavan. Yesterday was first day of spring, wasn't it? Vasant, what is it? Vasant Panchami, yes. Among the many important things about yesterday, the parents of so many great Vaishnavas, Acharyas, yesterday was also the first day of spring. And so, is it coincidence that we are on the first day of spring here, Krishna entering in the Vrindavan forest? I'll let you decide whether you believe in coincidence or not. But I think that the conclusion is that Vaishnavas don't believe in coincidence. So we're very fortunate Krishna has made this arrangement where we can be discussing him entering the forest, Madhava, and the springtime blossoming with birds, with flowers, breezes, and celestial atmosphere. So as we study this pastime, and Krishna here is just entering into a new lila, I think it's a good time to review some of the things that at least I know have been discussed in our classes before. Some time ago I gave a class on the different elements of bhakti rasa and how they are visible in the pastimes of the Lord, how we can study them. At that time we were discussing Vatsalya Ras, parental affection for Krishna, and we reviewed most notably five of the different types of emotional experiences of the devotee. We talked about Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhachari Bhava, and Stai Bhava. But we discussed those in terms of, as I said, the parental rasa, and how they're manifest or recognized in the lila of the Lord. So today, this killing of Dhenuka, this pastime of the Lord, primarily Sakya rasa, the rasa of friendship between the Lord and his devotees, the exchange of this loving rasa or affection of sakya. So I thought it would be a good time to review these five elements also, how they are manifest in sakya rasa. just as we talked before about how they were manifest in Vatsalya Rasa. So to do that, I'm going to be turning to Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada's summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Just by way of background, Prabhupada, he gave us the summary study. Nectar of Devotion is a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But there is some indication that he desired to give us this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the same way that he's given us Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Particularly in 1960, you know, before Prabhupada came to America, he was regularly publishing Back to Godhead as a monthly, as a fortnightly publication. And in that, in 1960, there were several editions of Back to Godhead where he gave translation of the Sanskrit verses, the word-for-word meanings, and then a purport, translation of purport for each verse. And so he began giving Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in that fashion to us, again, the same fashion that we have Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, I don't know, now maybe Nagaraj knows, since he works in the editing and things. I mean, when actually Prabhupada completed the summary study that we have as Nectar of Devotion, because obviously he had some verses, a number of verses, done in this other style. So I'm not exactly sure. It'd be interesting to find out what the history of that is. But he gave it to us as a summary study, and I think that there are some interesting things that come out when you look at that. Particularly today, I was going to focus on which the southern ocean, or the southern side of the ocean of devotion that's described. And that talks about general symptoms of transcendental mellow. But it's interesting, although that's the topic that's described in the southern side, if you compare that, and this is in the Nectar of Devotion here, in the back they have this appendix that says waves of the Nectar of Devotion. And then it talks about the eastern side, southern side, western side, northern side, and gives the subject matters discussed there. And so on the southern side, these things, vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyabhachari bhava, and sthayi bhava, are the subject matter. But if you look at the table of contents, because I know some of you may be thinking, well, this is a little technical, why are we doing this technical stuff, you know? But if you look at, if you compare the waves to the table of contents here, you'll see that what Prabhupada's, in his summary study, what he says is going to be discussed in the southern wave are qualities of Sri Krishna. Qualities of Krishna further explained, Krishna's personality, further traits of Sri Krishna, devotees of Krishna. So by studying these different elements of devotion or love for Krishna, we're actually studying Krishna, studying the person, finding more about his personality, how he interacts, and how he loves his devotees. So if we think of it in that way, then maybe we can get this idea of technicality out of our brain and try to relish actually what the descriptions are. Another thing about that approach of studying these elements is that, and I was thinking about this, well, is this what devotion to Krishna means? That we, you know, technically understand the difference between anubhava and sattvika bhava? Is that it? You know, is that devotion to Krishna? Is that the nectar that's there? Well, yeah, that is what the nectar is there. However, I think we have to understand that we're approaching an ocean. And an ocean has different parts. It has the surface, and then it has the depth. It has great depth. And so in our study, in our approach of these things, and the kind of definitions and examples that I want to give today, they may seem to be very superficial, but actually they're just the beginning. They're the top of the ocean. And our job is to dive deep into that ocean. And, well, you start at the top and you dive deep. So that's where we're starting. But these things are the fathomless absorption that we can have in Krishna's pastimes. They begin by understanding these technical distinctions. So they are important for us to go through. And therefore, I'm going to do this little bit of a review today. So I know that all of you Rasika Bhaktas are very anxious to relish Krishna's pastimes. But we'll start trying to understand the definitions, because I think it's good, important to get the definitions down to understand where we're going in this whole thing. Okay, so I have some definitions to give you. First, let's talk about rasa. What is indicated by rasa? We talk about that a lot. And I'm reading from Dhanadhara Swami's Waves of Devotion, where he studies the nectar of devotion, so it helps to make these things accessible. Rasa commonly indicates our eternal relationship with Krishna. Strictly speaking, this is inaccurate. Rati, not rasa, is the correct term. Rasa occurs when the above-mentioned bhavas stimulate rati and heighten it to an unprecedented ecstasy. When these five bhavas properly combine, one can taste rasa. So, again, the five things we're going to talk about, vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyabhachari bhava, and sthayi bhava, these five are combined. When they're combined, then we taste rasa. Then we taste rasa. And so how they're combining in the pastimes, like this description we have in the verse today of Krishna surrounded by his cowherd boys and having his flute, playing his flute, they're entering the forest. How we relish that whole lila of the Lord is by the combination of these five types of bhava or ecstasies combining in different ways. That's rasa. So it's important to understand what is being combined. So let's start with vibhava. I have my page references here so I can flip through the book easily. That's what I'm trying to do. So, what is vibhava? Well, first of all, let's start, because we're studying this particular lila of the Lord, where the Lord's entering into the Vrindavan forest with his cowherd boys, and this is Sakya Rasa. So why don't we go first to sthayi bhava, or explain first sthayi bhava. Sthayi bhava means the permanent or the predominating ecstasy or relationship or rati or a feeling that one, love that one has toward Krishna. It's not changed. It's predominant in our relationship with Krishna. And so the sthayi bhava here in this verse today of between Krishna and the cowherd boys is sakya ras, this feeling of fraternity, friendship, like that. And so that is the permanent ecstasy, and that is enhanced by the other four that we'll discuss in more detail. starting with Vibhava. So Vibhava means, Shrirupa Goswami defines Vibhava as the cause of tasting rati. Srila Prabhupada says, the cause or basis for relishing transcendental mellow is exactly what we mean by Vibhava. So the cause for tasting the rati. Now, this is Vibhava. Now, there are subdivisions of Vibhava, and I think it's important to try to understand them to get a full meaning of Vibhava. And I won't use a lot of the Sanskrit terms because they may distract us from trying to understand, but there is the object of affection and there is the reservoir of affection. These are two divisions of Vibhava. Ashraya, or shelter, Krishna's devotee is the shelter wherein love of God resides. So, the object of the love is Krishna. And where that love resides, or where that reservoir of the love is the devotees. So these are two divisions of Vibhava, or the cause for tasting rati, or a relationship, a feeling, love between the Lord and his devotees. The devotee is a reservoir, Krishna's the object. Okay. Does anybody have any questions about Vibhava? Yes.
These two are one. Vibhava is a two division. One is Udipan, what stimulating. For example, yesterday was the birthday of Ramanandan Thakur, Padumna. His father, Mukunda Das, when he saw the peacock feather, he immediately fainted. So peacock feather is the stimulating factor called Uddipan.
Right.
That's one aspect of Vibhava.
Mm.
Now, what he tasted, remembering Krishna, that is Vishayalamban, object of love.
Mm.
Who is tasting? Him, Mukunda Das. Mm. He is the Ashrayalamban.
Okay, so the question then is, what is the primary Udipan that's described in this verse today? Can anybody say? I'll read the verse again. What? Thus desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by the cowherd boys who were chanting his glories and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which is full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. So what is a primary Udipan in this verse today?
The flute, yes.
The flute is the Udipan. It's the stimulus. It's a stimulus. So let's define Udipan. Impelling excitants are objects by which rati is tasted. There are many objects that impel Krishna and his devotees to relish the taste of affection. Krishna's flute, his footprints, his bhishadam, etc. Srila Prabhupada writes, impelling ecstatic love, then, is that love which develops when one sees an object which reminds him of Krishna. So the flute is the stimulant here, the Udipan. A division of Vibhava, as Pran Govinda has said. So that's a quick look at Vibhava. And again, these are just quick looks, and these things deserve a lot of study, and we should take the time individually to study Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Indeed, Banu Maharaj, following Srila Prabhupada's initial example of translating verses like that, he's translated the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu like this, with the word for word meanings and translations of all the commentaries, at least Jiva Goswami's commentary, and I think a couple of others. So we should take the time to study these things in depth. So, vibhava. Now, anubhava. Anubhava. Can anybody give a definition anyway besides Pran Govinda? He's a prime student here. But other people, can anybody give a definition of anubhava? Anyone? No. See, I told you need to study this stuff. At least you can look in the book. It's not a closed book exam here. Let me read here what it's the definition of anubhava. Anubhava is an action that results from the heightened affection for Krishna, which serves to further enhance that affection. Srila Prabhupada writes, the bodily symptoms manifest by a devotee in expressing ecstatic love for Krishna are called anubhava. So, examples of anubhava, well, I'll just read it. And this is again in Sakya Rasa: wrestling, playing ball, playing chess, piggyback riding, baton twirling, resting together, playing on swings, joking, swimming in pools, etc. So when we read through this chapter, Krishna's just entering into the forest of Vrindavan with the cowherd boys. And so they are going to be engaging in a lot of different activities. Now, those activities are actually anubhava. They're expressions of their love for Krishna that are impelled by the vibhava, the circumstances, the udipans. They result in them doing something, expressing their love. And so this anubhava is the way they express their love for Krishna. It's by wrestling and ball playing and playing chess and doing all these things. Okay? So you have a short comment you want to add to that? Yeah.
Whatever the feeling I have for the Lord as a permanent and dominant, when it manifests in the body, that's called
Okay. Yes, okay. So then let's move then to the next one, which is Sattvika Bhava. Now, Sattvika Bhava is like Anubhava, but it's different in a very significant way. So let's just read a definition, and then maybe we can have some elaboration on that point as well. Let's see here. Okay. No. Okay, sorry. Let me get my references here correct. Sattvika Bhava. Sattvika Bhava can also be considered Anubhava because both are expressions which result from heightened affection for Krishna. Okay? But here's the difference. However, the two are distinct in an important way. Anubhava involves a conscious decision to suitably express one's ecstasy, while Sattvika Bhava is an unpremeditated, involuntary expression arising from the spiritually surcharged consciousness. So, Sattvika Bhavas are involuntary ecstasy. Now, there's one, there are eight of these, but there's one that we're maybe a little bit more familiar with, or we think about and we try to contemplate Sattvika Bhava. It's like the standing of the hairs on the body, right? I mean, everyone's familiar with that, right? That's an example of a Sattvika Bhava. It's involuntary. It's just due to your ecstasy, your hairs stand on end. Right? Can anyone think of any other ones, any other involuntary ones? Adi Dave? Tears welling in the eyes, yes. Goosebumps, yes. What's the name? Other name? Harpalations? Okay, the goosebumps coming on the skin, yeah. These are involuntary symptoms of ecstasy. What are the other eight? I mean, dancing, you know, in ecstasy is one. No, that's voluntary. That's a conscious decision, voluntary. Yeah.
Bodily change of color.
Bodily change of color, yes. I was just hearing this morning about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was very careful not to display any symptoms of ecstasy, being reserved like that, but the speaker was saying how his disciples, close intimate disciples, they could understand when he was going, displaying some of these sattvic avabs of ecstasy, and his skin tone would change. They were so attuned to their guru, they could see that the skin tone changing was an example. They could knew, oh, now he's experiencing some transcendental ecstasy. So yes, changing the skin. Yes, Adide. Choking, voice choking, speech like that. Okay. Yes. Yes. Pushkar, is that Pushkar hiding there? Describing. Torrents of tears, that was mentioned. Yeah, these are all sattvika bhavas. And technically, there are eight in number. Stamba, being stunned. Again, I was hearing that this morning. An example was given of Dhruva Maharaj. The speaker was describing how these symptoms of ecstasy aren't just limited to understanding from Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto, but throughout the Bhagavatam, the Lord and his devotees being described, we can understand these different manifestations of ecstasy. And the example was given of Dhruva Maharaj, who was stunned when the Lord appeared before him. Good.
That verse right before Prahlad's prayers says, Prema Gad Gadaya, he was praying, he was choked up.
Right.
Vacha Tanyasta Hridayakshana, his heart and mind were completely fixed on Nrisingadeva.
Right, yes. So even for Lord Nrisingadeva, the ecstasy is there. Yeah, that's very good. Thank you for that. Okay, so Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and we talked about Stai Bhava, and then Vyabhachari Bhava, which are transitory ecstasies. So let me give a definition that's here for that. Srila Rupa Goswami lists 33 emotional experiences in the category of Vyabhachari Bhava. Each emotion has various causes and effects, which Rupa Goswami describes and authenticates with elaborate shastric reference. So these are ecstasies which arise like a wave comes over you. Let's see. Kilakinchi? What does it mean in English, you can say?
It's like a combination of about eight different things. You know, humility, crying, laughing, all together.
Okay. Well, here's an example again for just so we can. Here's an example of Vyabhachari Bhava, just so we can get, you know, a little centered here, and then we'll go over a list of them because there is a list of all 33 here. We can grasp the basic concept of Vyabhachari Bhava with a simple example. Seeing a baby crawling precariously along the edge of a cliff, a mother's affection intensifies drastically, embellished by the flavors of extreme anxiety. This intense emotional experience corresponds to Vyabhachari Bhava, transitory emotions that result from intensified affection, which embellish and further stimulate that affection. So these are embellishers in the relationship. They stimulate it, but they come like a wave and they go like a wave. So here's a list of the 33 Vyabhachari Bhavas which Srila Rupa Goswami describes. And this is where it makes me think, and how I said at the beginning about how these things seem to be technical, and it's like, you know, you're making a list, how can it be ecstasy? It has to be sort of free and everything like that. Well, but Rupa Goswami, he lists 33, we are Rupanugas, we should follow his categorization of these things. And so it's not just a dry list, it's a dynamic spiritual experience. So here are some of the 33 Vyabhachari Bhavas. Disappointment, indifference, despair, frustration. These are, well, let's see, Nirveda, self-disparagement, disappointment, indifference, Vishada, despair, frustration, lamentation, Dainya, humility. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has his songs, Dainya, the category of songs in his things, of humility. Glani, depression, guilt. Shrama, weariness, fatigue. Mada, intoxication. Garva, pride. Sankha, alarm, doubt, apprehension. These things, so when you read Krishna's pastimes and you see there the devotees are expressing these things, they're part of the Leela, these are different ecstasies. The bhavas or intense feelings of emotion for Krishna which are being expressed, and they're being expressed in different ways. They're not just incidental to the Leela. They're actually very much part of it. Anyway, there's a whole list of 33 of them here. Supti. No. Supti, sleep. That means that people who sleep during Bhagavatam class are actually in ecstasy. That's not what it means, correct. It's not what it means. Harsha, jubilation, happiness, joy. Smriti, remembrance. Anyway, as I said, oh, there's another one here, Mriti, death. So these things are this is just a quick look at some of these, as they're described in a Nectar Devotion, in the appendices I showed you at the back. These five are covered in an appendix, Waves of Devotion. So these are general symptoms of transcendental mellow. The first wave, vibhava, special ecstasy. Second wave, anubhava, bodily symptoms of ecstasy. Third wave, sattvika bhava, existential ecstasy. Fourth wave, vyabhachari bhava, overwhelming ecstasy. And fifth wave, sthayi bhava, continuous ecstasy. So, quick a glance at those things as we enter into this pastime and try to recognize them as we go verse by verse through these things. It will heighten your understanding, your experience, your ecstasy and reading Krishna's pastimes. So any comments or questions that anyone has? Yes. Oh, go ahead, you.
Static symptoms that he describes here, if you guys want to go over them.
Okay.
And it's just the three verses here. Is it characteristic of love of Godhead that by nature it induces transcendental symptoms in one's body and makes one more and more greedy to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord? When one actually develops love of Godhead, he naturally sometimes cries, sometimes laughs, sometimes chants, sometimes runs here and there like a madman. Perspiration, trembling, standing on the end of one body's hairs, tears, faltering voice, fading complexion, madness, melancholy, patience, pride, joy, and humility. These are all various natural symptoms of ecstatic love of Godhead, which cause a devotee to dance and float in an ocean of transcendental bliss while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra.
That's very good. But now go back to the very first one, because I think the important lesson to be learned from what you just read comes, I think, in the first sentence you said, that it makes one more greedy for? Exactly. That's why studying these details is important, because it makes us greedy to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That's not just a dry study of categorizations and dry analysis. It's something that impels us to get the lotus feet of the Lord. So, thank you.
I just wanted to, I was having a hard time understanding the difference between Anubhava and...
Sattvika Bhava?
Sattvika Bhava, yeah.
Well, you want to explain? You go ahead. I mean, briefly, just so we can, you know.
Example can be given like Arjuna in the battlefield, before the war, in the battlefield, he has a sthayi bhav, permanent and dominant eternal emotion called friendship with Krishna. That will never change. But in the friendship, in 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada translated that Arjuna felt guilty of addressing him Sakha, Jadava, Krishna, these three words. And explanation is given. So in that ecstasy feeling that when Arjuna saw the universal form, that universal form is not his Thayi Bhav. That universal form became Uddipan, stimulating factor. Because his object of goal is not Krishna's universal form, but is a friendly, friendship form. So at that time, when his Thayi Bhav was disturbed, that time he paying obeisances left, right, east, west, all corner. This is Anubhav. Who is telling him to do this? Himself. He desired, consciously is doing it. But what about his hair standing, his trembling, his half word out, half word in, and crying, hair standing, he's becoming stunned. He is not trying to do that. Did you get it? He's not trying to cry or hair standing. He's not doing it. It is automatically happening within him. But he is doing something like paying obeisances, pleading guilty. That is Anubhav that he is consciously doing. But what is happening within his body, that is further explanation given, that when Sthayi Bhav is stimulated and overwhelmed by the saturation of pure goodness, that time the soul, or Arjuna here, submit itself to the life air. At that time, life air travels within this body. Mm-hmm. And this body has a five elements. When it comes in contact with the earth element, that time it becomes stunned.
Mm-hmm.
Because earth is like stunned. When it comes in contact with the water, that time shed tears, hair stands with the air. Even it comes to a point where the air comes to a point, a space, where he faints even.
Mm.
These are natural, but this is a...
Which element is it when the goosebumps come? Is that also the air?
Oh, you mean what causes the goosebumps?
Yeah, it come in contact with the... Was what element? Earth, air, you know, water, what? Which element
the
is
goosebump.
It?
The goosebump.
Yeah.
The air.
It's air. Okay.
Yes, Gadgada, similar.
Hmm.
1973 in Bhaktisiddhanta in LA, the big pastime took place of Prabhupada giving lecture, that he tried three times to speak, on third time he failed. And later on, Babru Prabhu was telling me that he was trying to intervene to see what's going on. And Prabhupada expressed, after everything over, he said, I try to control, but sometimes I can't. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. Why don't we go, Keshava?
So can you describe then that the conscious symptoms that come are anubhava, and the unconscious symptoms like tears and so forth, those are...
You are so much into the Indo-Guna Maharaj, make such a heavy dance.
You just described that if you consciously bow down, those are anubhav. So then things like the choking of the voice, is that what is sattvika bhav?
Yes.
Yeah.
You are not doing anything.
Yes. Yes. Not the conscious thing. Okay. Yeah. Any other points? Anubhav and Vyabhachari bhav.
Feeling guilty. Arjuna felt guilty. I called him Jada.
Krishna, Vasudev born from a Vasudev. Vasudev is kind of like a minister. He's not a really big, macho scorpion. But Indraprastha and Pandavas, they are like big royal family. So to address Krishna, Jadava, dynasty of Jodhu, is like a second class Kshatriya, not a first class. Now he sees in the universal form that entire universe is within him. He is the best Kshatriya of all Kshatriya. And I used to address him as Jadava. And I used to take a pride, you know, like if you need help, I'll help you as a friend. But actually, he doesn't need help. So he felt guilty. This guilt actually served him. So the Prabhupada says, like, should be seen in four ways. When the emotion comes, the sthayi bhava is like an ocean.
Sthayi bhava is like an ocean, and some waves comes from the ocean. That's how Prabhupada explained, or that's how I was hearing. The sthayi bhava comes like a waves comes from the ocean, and some other waves culminates with the main waves. If there is enough similar mood, then the waves goes very high. And then goes back to same, to the ocean. So sthayi bhava is like an ocean. And Vyabhichari 33 that you have read nicely, those are like assisting the sthayi bhava to relish.
I can add something that might also help with the understanding here is that anubhav, the conscious decision, you know, to serve or offer obeisances, as he's saying like that. But the Vyabhichari bhava is... it's coming from outside of you, you know, it's a sort of circumstantial thing coming up like that from outside of you that intensifies your as the sthayi bhava, the relationship. And that's why the example is given here about the mother, you know, the child is crawling along the edge of the cliff, and so that circumstance heightens the motherly affection that she has for the child. Again, differentiating it from a conscious decision. She didn't consciously put the baby on the ledge, you know, and do that, you know. But the circumstance came in the ocean like a wave and then moved away. But the flute is udipan, is a stimulant. Yeah, it's part of vibhav. Yes, one of the divisions of vibhav is the udipan, which is a stimulant. So it's different. Okay. Madhulila. Works for everybody else except for you, Keshav. Those are the 33. But with reading those, I'm thinking maybe what I said wasn't exactly right, because these things, these 33, you see, some of these things are they're not events happening, but they're feelings happening. So it seems that there's an emotion that sweeps over you due to certain circumstance, as opposed to the anubhava, which is a conscious action that you take. Like that. Okay, well, we'll end there. Huh?
You can say, like in Damodar Lila, like Prabhupada gave there, in Damodar Lila, the Mother Yashoda, the Putana finished, everything is over. But after long time, she is seeing Krishna and she is remembering the witch. And she immediately grabbed Krishna and hugged him. Now, where is this fear coming from? This fear is assisting her emotion, where Krishna is surprised. She is hugging and kissing. I want him, but wow, such a total enjoying. So this fear is assisting the sthayi bhava.
Right. And that's one of a Vyabhachari Bhav.
Yeah.
It's coming over her like that. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.